Chapter 14 Flesh. God didn't even want the smell of sweat on the priest. Anything of the human, the agitation of the flesh, the effort of flesh, he does not want. Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 18. Do not let the old nature which is still alive direct traffic. Deny yourself. The book of Revelation was given to the church, not the world. Keeping this in mind, God's judgment is coming upon all the earth, our humanity. He is coming to test us and prove us on the flesh level. End of chapter 14. Chapter 15. Gifts. In Romans chapter 11, verse 29, we read that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. A gift can be operated purely in the flesh or psyche. It depends purely upon who is back of the motivating and directing. In 1 Corinthians chapters 12 to 14, we find Paul correcting their motives regarding the gifts. In chapter 12, he enumerates the gifts, the manifestation gifts as well as the personality gifts. In chapter 13, he talks of motives back of the gifts, and in the 14th chapter, he encourages them to seek after the best gifts. To better understand Paul in his teaching here, we must go back into the original Greek writings where we find that the translators, who are not inspired, have unfortunately placed the first verse of chapter 13 as the last verse of chapter 12. Let us read it as it should have been. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, or love, I am become as sounding brass, or tinkling cymbal. Paul is now no longer speaking of the gifts, but of a way. The Corinthians had all the gifts and all the power. Paul had to correct them, for their motivation was wrong. Rather than their motive coming from their natural heart and life and disposition, it must come from the love of God shed abroad in their hearts and lives. The agape love is to control the power of the manifestation in the gifts. When the gifts are not motivated by the love of God, that broken, bleeding heart of Jesus, if we don't have that to become the motive for their manifestation, it is nothing to God but sounding cymbals and rattles. He warns them that even though the gift may bless somebody, as far as its reaction in the one possessing the gift is concerned, it is not to the glory of God, and the heart is not refreshed, neither does he grow. It profiteth me nothing. Paul tells them concerning spiritual gifts, as we read in chapter 12, that he wants to do a little corrective teaching. He then goes on in chapter 13 to give the law by which these gifts are to be operated. Now show I unto you a more excellent way, not a more excellent gift. Love is never a gift. Love is a fruit. He then goes on to correct their motivation. We will never understand chapters 12 through 14 of 1 Corinthians unless we read them all as one thing. End of chapter 15. Chapter 13. Fellowship. Sometimes just the offering of our humanity pleases him. He loved the disciples' presence, but there was failure on their part on the Mount of Transfiguration. They also failed in the garden because of their limited spiritual comprehension. Matthew 26, verse 43, And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. The actual translation here is, For sheer sorrow they slept. Degrees of fellowship. He will give according to the capacity that is opened to him. There is such a thing as putting that capacity, that receptivity, in the hands of God, in the Spirit, so that he can take its potential and open it until it comes to the fullness of all that God expects. He doesn't expect me to be Peter or Paul. He wants me to be just the creature that I am. He wants you to be just exactly who you are, not trying to strain or be discouraged because you can't offer to him what these magnificent saints have been able to offer. Don't be disturbed over that, but be very sure, dead sure, that what opening there is, what capacity you have, that's surrendered to the Lord all the time. Keep it open all the time to the Spirit, exposed to him, so that as you read, as you come and as you go, as you speak, preach, sing, or pray, whatever you do, you are exposed there to receive whatever God has to offer. Then he will build up our fellowship. He will strengthen it. He will enlarge it until, when he fills that capacity, you will be just as blessed and happy and just as satisfying and pleasing to God as the one who has the capacity of Paul. You can give to God all that he expects of the pleasure and satisfaction from you. So can I. So could Paul. So I call this degrees of fellowship. We talk about the fall of man, but the word fall is not mentioned in the Bible. Death is. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. Do you think death was in the heart of God when he created Adam? No. When God came, after Adam had sinned, he still had access to him. He still had communion with him. All of his wreckage does not hinder God coming and bringing him out of his wreckage into a glorious new creature, a thing that has never lived on the earth before. The first picture of a broken-hearted God is here in Genesis when he says, O Adam, where art thou? He did not come to rebuke him, but he came to salvage him and to bring him through. He didn't come down as a judge, but as Lord God, who would bring redemption to this whole chaotic being, the whole world. That was the lovely, marvelous Son of God. I want you to love him. I only can feel a pathos in God's voice. Adam, where art thou? Adam had been made to bring to God a peculiar pleasure that no other thing in the universe could bring. No angels could bring it. No created thing could bring it, but man, in his response, because he is created in the image and likeness of God, could offer back to God that which the heart of God had always hungered for. He cares about a fellowship with you more than anything on God's earth. He cares more about the fellowship of your heart than he does anything in the world, because it is something that only you can give. People can do so many things. He wants you to become something. There is a process in becoming. Even in the next age, I expect to grow. It's merely the releasing of the little seed plot here, the little potential. It took years to get it in shape to be released and projected to the eternal ages as a media for the glory of God and to give his heart pleasure. That's what life is about. That's what I want people to see. After a meeting, I was walking down a lane alone, thanking the Lord and loving him. How many ever just love the Lord? End of chapter 13.